Well, we're going to continue the message today that I started last weekend on Easter Sunday, entitled The Power of the Resurrection. Last week we talked about the fact that Jesus rose from the grave victorious over death and what that means to us. And our second major point is what we will spend the duration of the message today on. And that is this: Jesus' resurrection delivered power to spirit-filled believers. You guys are way more powerful than you know you are. So I'm praying that by the time we leave here today, you're going to get a fresh revelation of how much power you have inside of you because of the presence of the living God indwelling you through the Holy Spirit. Okay? Are you ready?
Yes.
All right. Well, we are going to read Acts 1, verses 1 through 8, if you want to turn there. Acts 1, verses 1 through 8. Getting to read verse 1. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving instruction through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John the Baptist baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when they met together, they asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word, and we just pray that Lord, you will open our hearts and open our minds, that, Lord, we would receive revelation from you today that will impact us for the rest of our lives on this earth, as long as that will be, however long as that will be. Lord, I pray that you put a watch on my mouth, that I would only speak the words you've ordained for me to speak this morning, not a word more or a word less, and all that you be glorified, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. So again, Jesus' resurrection delivered power to spirit-filled believers. I think it's a very important point that we need to look at in verse 4 when Jesus said, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about." It's important enough, this power of the Holy Spirit is important enough to our effectiveness in this world as believers, that Jesus said, "Wait, tarry here. Tarry in this place. Wait, don't go anywhere. Don't go try to do anything until you've received the promise that I talked about." And that's the power of the Holy Spirit. If you are a born-again believer in Jesus Christ and have also sought to be baptized with the Holy Spirit and are baptized with the Holy Spirit, you are way, way, way more powerful than you realize, because you are in the hand of God and you are empowered through the Spirit of God. I am sick and tired of the devil thinking he can continue to kick true Christians around. It's my mission to wake up the sleeping lion called the church. That they will wake up with a roar and say, I am a child of the Most High God. And Goliath, you're going down today.
That's right.
All of the Goliaths in our life, we need to speak to those Goliaths and tell them, you will not stand against me because I am a representative of the Most High God. Now understand, this power isn't something that we can take pride in because it's not our physical bodies. It's the Spirit of God. That's the power we're talking about. Jesus said, John baptized with water. He's trying to get them to understand, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Jesus is the baptizer with the Holy Spirit. I can't baptize you with the Holy Spirit. I can lay hands on you and agree with you in prayer that you seek after and receive that gift. We see that example in Scripture. We're going to look at that before we're done with this message. But I can't baptize. I baptize people with water. I've baptized a lot of people over the years with water. We're going to be having a baptism soon because there are several people here that are seeking baptism. So I'm going to have a baptism class, and then we'll follow up with baptism in water. Okay? And I can do that. I can baptize people in water. But I can't baptize anybody with the Holy Spirit. Jesus does that. And Him alone. Okay? Again, I want you to understand something. Because many, many churches, many, many denominations have got this wrong. When we get born again, we are baptized into the Holy Spirit. Okay? We are baptized into the Holy Spirit at that time. And we are sealed with the seal of the Holy Spirit for the day of redemption. Are you with me? How many of you know the word? Am I speaking the truth?
Yes.
All right. But there's more to be sought to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. That is where the power and the power gifts of the Spirit begin to flow in our lives, and we become lean, mean, devil-wrecking machines. Well, I used to be mean. That has changed over the years. But when it comes to the devil, I can still get pretty mean. Do you understand what I'm saying? Devil, don't mess with my family. Devil, don't mess with my church family. You hear what I'm saying? Jesus said, in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Guys, this is important. This is important. Skip down to verse 8 of what we just read. He says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. I'm going to stop there and go to the rest of it in a little bit. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. The word translated power from the original language, the word is dunamis. Dunamis. And dunamis is the word that we get the word dynamite from. So when we're talking about the power, if we're going to grasp what Jesus was talking about when he said you will receive power, what he was talking about is you will receive explosive, unharnessable power. Dunamis. See, in the translation from dunamis to the English language power, it lost something. we didn't have an English word that is the equivalent of dunamis. That's why from time to time it's definitely helpful for us to look into the original language and grasp exactly what that's talking about. So the bottom line is, he says you will receive dunamis, explosive, unharnessable power will be in your life. When the Holy Spirit comes on you, now let's look at this. What does he empower us for? This is where we need to catch this, guys. Why does he want to empower us? Why does he want us to be powerful instead of pitiful? And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. That is why God empowers us. He empowers us to go out and be witnesses, to share Christ with anyone who will listen. Actually, to display Christ everywhere we go and speak if we have to. Does that make sense to you? Our greatest testimony of Christ is our lives that are changed for God's glory. What am I saying? Our greatest testimony, our greatest witness to the people that are in the world that don't know Jesus yet is a life lived faithfully to God before the people. We can talk till we're blue in the face to them about Jesus loves them and Jesus died for them and he'll come into your life and change your life. But if they look at our life and our life does not measure up to the testimony that comes from the Word of God, then they're going to look at us every time and say bogus. Am I making sense? So what am I saying? Well, the power that we receive empowers us to be witnesses in the world to the ends of the earth. But the most wonderful thing is he empowers us through the Holy Spirit to fulfill in our lives what the Word of God requires. Am I making sense? God requires us in his Word. He gives us a standard to live by. Okay? Now we all sin and fall short, right? Romans 3:23, all sin and fall short of the glory of God. That's why we needed Jesus. But that doesn't mean that we stop trying and say, oh, I'm a sinner anyway. I'm going to live the way I want to. Jesus has got it covered. That's the wrong answer. And we need to make that clear to everybody. We are required to do the best we can in the power of the Holy Spirit of the living God. And when we get baptized with the Holy Spirit, then we are empowered to overcome not only the wiles of the devil that comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but we got another adversary. It's called self. Does anybody else know what I'm talking about? See, I know me. I do sin and fall short of the glory of God more often than I would like to. Is anybody else with me? Might as well be honest, it's church. Right? That's why we needed Jesus. But man, through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can overcome those tendencies to sin. And thereby, then, sin becomes the exception instead of the rule. The Word of God says before we are born again that sin rules in our lives. Sin rules in our heart. Isn't that what the Word says? Okay. We're slaves to it, it goes on to say, right? It says we are slaves to sin. But see, when we are in Christ, baptized with the Holy Spirit, and we got the Holy Spirit leading our life, then we are no longer slaves to that sin. Because through the power of the Holy Spirit, we are lean, mean, wrecking machines. And sin then becomes the exception instead of ruling in our lives. But we're still sinners in need of Savior. But let's just say we're getting better. Right? So you be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. There is no limit to what God can do through a person that is submitted to Him and empowered with His Holy Spirit. It's limitless. God has done things through my life that I could have never, ever imagined over the years. I'm serious. And I'm nobody special. I'm just a little Dutch boy in a little town of Fulton, Illinois, in the Midwest. I'm nobody special, but God has taken me places and has done things through me that I could have never, ever imagined, guys. It blows my mind. And it's all Him. It's all Him. Guys, we got to come to the place where we admit God is God and I'm not. We're not supposed to be Lord of our own lives anymore. If we're born again believers in Christ, we surrender lordship of our own lives. Salvation is free. All it costs is everything that we are. Will you turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 14, and we're going to read verses 11 through 17. Jesus says, "Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. If you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another counselor to be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept Him because it neither sees Him or knows Him. But you know Him. For He lives with you and will be in you." Isn't that powerful? Let's pick this apart a little bit. Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me," verse 12, "will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father." Think about that, man. Do you believe God's word? Do you believe what God's word says? Okay, Jesus Himself said that we would do even greater things than He did as believers. Now, I know that's hard to get your mind around. But God's word says it. So what do you do with that? I think we need to start acting like we have that availability power. I think we need to lay hands on the sick and believe that God's going to raise them up like He said He would. I think we need to speak to a thing and expect that thing to move or do whatever we tell it to do. Are you with me? Jesus said, if you speak to this mountain and you have faith, You will speak to that mountain and tell it to get up and move, and it will go. How many mountains do we have in our lives that we need to speak out of our lives? I'm just teaching the Word of God, guys. Please don't look at me like I'm crazy. I'm not crazy. I'm just crazy about Jesus. I'm reminding you what the Word of God has to say. We have access to way more power than we are using. Guys, I know neurologists, but neurologists say that we use a very small fraction of our brain. We have the capacity in our brains to do way, way, way more things than we use our brains for. My mom used to tell me when I was a young boy, you don't use your head. She was right. According to the neurologist, she was right, right? What she was saying is, you don't stop and think. No, I didn't. Kids are pretty compulsive, don't you think? Yeah. Especially a kid that's ADHD. Are you picking up what I'm putting down today? See, God's building an army in the earth for such a time as this. I see Him raising people up to stand against what is happening in our world right now. We are the restrainers as believers. We're supposed to be the restrainers, right? It's who we're supposed to be. The mission that we need to stop is the cabal's mission of the Great Reset. Are you with me? If you don't know what I'm talking about, you need to get studying. Because it's reality, guys. It's what's happening. And see, they're way out ahead of God. Someday, there will be a one-world government. We know it from prophecy in the Bible. But this is too soon. They're out ahead of God. And it's up to the restrainers, the body of Christ, to take a stand and rise up and speak to those things and say, no, no, my God said no, this is too soon. You go back into the shadows. You come out of the light and go back into the shadows. The mission is to bring Lucifer out into the open. But we got something to say about it. We have within us the power of life and death in our tongue. Don't look at me like I'm crazy. I'm telling you what Jesus said. I'm just telling you what Jesus said. As long as I stick with that, I'm in good shape. I'm not going to have to stand before God someday and have Him say, why did you say that? I just speak in your word, Lord. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. You think about what all He was doing. He will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. Let me explain to you the significance of that phrase, because I am going to the Father. The Holy Spirit was never going to be released until Jesus went to the Father. When He went to the Father sent the Holy Spirit to empower us. That's why that phrase is so significant in that passage. Are you putting it together? Jesus said in verse 15, if you love me, you will obey what I command. People that continually live loose lives and say that they're in right relationship with God, that can't happen. There are too many people that profess to be Christians today, and they have bought in to the whole agenda. Critical race theory, abortion, you name it. You name it. The whole idea of there could be several dozen genders. We laugh, but that's the world we're living in. The Bible says that He created man and He created woman, and that's it. That's it. We don't need to confuse our children any further. But they're trying to. And there are way too many people that profess to be Christians that are going along with it. Something is wrong with their profession. They're not true believers. Because you can't be a true believer and operate in the agenda of Satan. You can't do it. You got the Holy Spirit indwelling you and convicting you. How many of you are born again believers here today? How many of you, when you go ahead and commit a sin, man, we're talking conviction. Okay, it's the guilt. How many of you get that? I'll put both hands up. It just rides hurt on you, don't it? I tell you what, being a born-again, spirit-filled believer ruins you from ever being a good sinner again. It absolutely wrecks you. Because you got the guilt. And rightly so. The problem is, there are many, many people that are ignoring the guilt, the conviction that God is giving, and after they continue to ignore that for so long, according to Scripture, God turns them over to a reprobate mind. That is not good. But nobody's preaching this. It's the Word of God. But nobody wants to preach it because, well, we might make people mad and they might leave. Well, if they're goats among sheep, the goats should go. Is that a fact? I feel like preaching today. My back's feeling better in case anybody wondered. If you love me, you will do what I command. What Jesus is saying is, don't say you love me if you're going to do the opposite of what I command. Just don't even say you love me. No different than a man telling his wife he loves her all the time while he's chasing other skirts all over. Yeah. It'd be right for the woman to say, go tell me you love me, and then you go do that because your confession to me is bogus. Well, Jesus refers to us, the body of Christ, as His bride. Any questions? And He's not just looking for a date. He's looking for a wife. It's amazing when you start looking at the Word of God as a whole, how everything comes together and connects. Blows my mind. Verse 16, he says, "And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another Counselor to be with you forever." Forever. Forever. Not just for today, so that we can do something powerful, and then maybe tomorrow He's not with us anymore. No, He has given us the Holy Spirit forever. I like that. That tells me he's not going to give up on me. That encourages me. The biggest thing is that I see in people is too many people give up on God. God don't give up on his people. Too many people give up on their God. He says, I'll give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. See, there's a difference between the way the New Testament Holy Spirit operates and the Old Testament Holy Spirit operated. In the Old Covenant, the Holy Spirit came on prophets, came on people for specific purpose, came on them, but did not indwell them. Listen to what I'm saying now. The Holy Spirit did not indwell people like the Holy Spirit does now. The Holy Spirit came on people, and they did great feats. Prophets did amazing things. The prophet of fire, for example, Elijah, and his successor, Elisha. They did mighty, powerful things through God because the Holy Spirit came on them, but did not indwell them. It is different in the New Covenant. When the Holy Spirit was sent from heaven, when Christ ascended on high and the Father sent the promise, the Holy Spirit, then the Holy Spirit indwelled man for the first time. And he has been dwelling in people that are sold out to God ever since. A lot of people don't realize it's different. Much better indwelling us and walking with us every step of our life. Isn't that great?
Yes.
How about John 20, verses 19 through 22? Gospel of John, chapter 20. Verses 19 through 22. We've got to keep moving or I'll be at this another week. Now we're going to make it. John 20, 19 through 22. Beginning to read. On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." He pneuma. The word translated breathed, the word that's there in the original language is pneuma. Yes, you pronounce the P. It's not silent in the Greek. It's not pneuma. It's pneuma. And what is pneuma? Pneuma is translated Holy Spirit wind, the breath, okay? Pneuma is the word that we get the English word pneumatic from. We in the English language don't pronounce the P, so instead of pneumatic, it's pneumatic. Okay, what's the big deal with that? Well, you guys here that have some mechanical aptitude and know what a pneumatic wrench is, or pneumatic tools, it's compressed air-driven tools. Okay? So it's powerful. power. Pneuma, power. Okay? He pneuma them. Isn't it interesting in verse 19? Makes it clear that on the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together, when the doors were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them. Now let's just think about that for a minute. The next thing that came out of Jesus' mouth was, "Peace be with you." What do you think was going on in that room when Jesus appeared out of nowhere and they knew the door was locked? They were freaking out! They were probably trying to climb in the walls. They were so freaked out. What would you be like? Jesus says, "Peace be with you." Right! Where did you come from? Did you ever think about that? How'd you get in here? Well, he's only God. So he shows them his hands and his side. Settles them down, shows them his hands, says, "Look, it's me. It's really me. I told you. I told you." Right? So the disciples were overjoyed when they saw that it was the Lord. They looked at his hands. They looked at his feet. And again Jesus said, he still had to settle him down again. He said, "Peace be with you, man." In verse 21, he says, "Peace be with you." Listen to me a minute. "As the Father sent me, I'm sending you." As the Father sent Jesus, Jesus is sending us. It's why we need to be empowered. We can't do it in our own strength. If God took his hand off me, I could not stand here and preach his word. Guaranteed, I couldn't do it. That's why I pray what I pray every time before I preach. I've been doing this for my whole ministry. I started doing this when I was doing evangelistic trips. I pray for the Lord to speak through me, not a word more, a word less, because I know that if he took his hand off me, that I couldn't do this. But with his hand on me, and with his hand on you, you can do things that go way beyond your abilities. All, you know, he doesn't ask us necessarily to just operate in our abilities. He asks for our availability. He asks that we make ourselves available to him. So he said, "Peace be with you. As the Father sent me, I'm sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." He pneuma on them. He blew in their faces and they received. It doesn't say whether he had a breath mint. It just says he pneuma. Acts 19, verses 1 through 7. Acts 19, verses 1 through 7. guys beginning to get a deeper revelation of who you are in Christ? Acts 19, 1 through 7, beginning to read in verse 1. While Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. There he found some disciples and asked them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" They answered, "No, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." So Paul asked, "Then what baptism did you receive?" "John's baptism," they replied. Paul said, "John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is Jesus." On hearing this, they were baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. There were about 12 men in all. So we see that sometimes the Holy Spirit baptism is ministered by people laying hands on people to receive it. There are many different ways. You can go into your closet and tell God, I know people that have done this. They went into their prayer closet and said, "Lord, I want everything that you want me to have. I've been looking in the Word and I can see that I can be baptized with your Holy Spirit, and I'll never be the same. I'll be empowered." And they've gone into their prayer closet and said, "I'm not coming out, God, until I am transformed." And they got baptized with the Holy Spirit and have never been the same to this day. So you can receive this many different ways. What's important is, if you want to be an empowered child of God, it's important that we tarry and wait for God to empower us to go out and to be His witnesses to the ends of the earth. At least in our circles of influence. When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them. I have actually prayed with many people over the years, laid hands on them, and many people have received the Holy Spirit in that way. We're baptized with the Holy Spirit in that way. Many people. Remember Acts 1:8 said, "But you will receive power, dunamis, when the Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the ends of the earth." In closing, I want to look at again from Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20, at the purpose that this is the purpose for this church. Should be for every church, but this is our purpose statement right out of the Word of God. Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. It's the Great Commission, is what it's been deemed to be, the Great Commission. And it says this, "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." See, can I be real for about the next 5 minutes? Our problem today in the body of Christ in this nation is there are quite a few denominations and quite a few churches that are baptizing people in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, but they're not teaching people to obey everything that we've been commanded through the Word of God. making excuses for sin. Sin's not even mentioned anymore in many churches. Am I telling the truth? Many of the new wave of church planters and churches won't even put a cross on the building or in the building because it's offensive to people that are perishing. I'm telling you the truth. They will not put a cross in their building. And that's the reason, if you've been in a church, been part of a church, that there was no cross anywhere, now you know why. The cross is an offense to those that are perishing. Well, somebody needs to stand up. We're commissioned to tell people that if they continue to live according to the world, they're going to go to hell. That's the facts of it. And once you're in hell, there's no way of getting back out. There is absolutely no purgatory in between. There is no holding tank. The Word of God says, absent from the body, you are with Christ or not. When our life is required of us, we don't go to a holding tank where our loved ones maybe could give money to the church to buy us out, to get us out of their purgatory and get us into heaven. None of that is going to happen anytime. It is not biblical. That was something that was created to bring money into a specific diocese years ago that was broke. Somebody ought to know what I'm talking about now. That's what that was created for. Not biblical. Fact of the matter is, we are all sinners. And that means that we all sin and fall short of the glory of God. Every one of us. And that's why we need a Savior. And that Savior is Jesus Christ. He's the only one. Jesus said in John 14, verse 6, He said, I'm the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. There is no other Savior that can save us. Jesus is the only one. We might say, yeah, well, Pastor Wayne, that's very narrow-minded. Yes, it is. The Word of God is very narrow-minded. It's God's way or the highway. And according to the Word of God, the highway is the wide road that leads to destruction. The road that leads to life eternal. And the Word of God says that it's a very narrow road and a narrow gate. And it says, few find it. Have you found it? Have you found the narrow road? Because there's an astronomical amount of people that are on the highway. The narrow road goes the opposite direction of the highway. And the people on the highway are usually trying to entice the people on the narrow road that they're going the wrong way. When we should be doing all we can to entice people that are on the highway to understand they're going the wrong way. I encourage you, think about this message. Look up the scriptures. Ponder it. If you have never been baptized with the Holy Spirit, seek after God. If you want more of Him, and I hope you do, I don't know about you, but I want and need everything that God has for me to be able to fulfill all that He's called me to do in this life. Can't do it in my own strength. And I sure don't want to miss God's best, do you? You don't want to miss God's best, do you? Now I know we covered a lot of material today and I was going really fast, but I hope not too much of it blew past. I hope you caught at least some of the key points. Will you stand with me? Father, pray for this body of believers. Lord, we have heard your word, the truth of your word. We covered a bunch of your word today, and we have seen and we have heard truth. I pray that it would take root in our hearts. I pray, Lord God, as people seek your face for more of you, for the to be baptized with the Holy Spirit, I pray, Lord God, that you would do that, empower them, and Lord God, that you would create an army here in this little town in Fulton, Illinois, in this little church, Lord God, an army that is equipped and empowered to go forth and give an answer to those that would ask what it is that gives us the hope that we have in our lives, and that we would be able to adequately, because we're empowered by your Spirit, to share the good news of the gospel that Jesus Christ died in our place, rose again to life, and because of that, the grave will not hold us. We praise you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you all. We love you.